Hey, 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 this is A Healthy Atlanta with your host, Normani Ricks, and I am co-host J.R. McNair. What's going on today, peoples? How you doing? How you feel?
Feeling great, feeling great.
All right, all right. Listen, we got some great people today. I'm so excited to be here and interview great people. We interview a lot of great people like all the time, but I feel even more special today because we have two special guests in here. Both of them doing some amazing work on kind of two opposite ends of the spectrum, but still doing some amazing work to help people feel good, look good, do everything well, and be able to live long and live well when you live, right? So I want to first say hello to the doc in the house. Hello, doc.
Hello, I'm Dr. Bailey. Glad to be here.
Yes.
Well, it's a good morning. It's a little bit chilly inside, but it's warm in here.
That's right. That's right. Hey, listen, we try to keep it warm and toasty. Warm and toasty. Most definitely. And Jacqueline, how you doing?
Well, after that introduction with Dr. Bailey, who sounds like Barry White, you know, I'm feeling fabulous.
All right. Great deal. Great deal. And Normani, why don't you go ahead and just tell us a little bit about Jacqueline and who she is and how she came to do what she does.
All right. Miss Jacqueline Charles is a force to be reckoned with. She is doing all types of amazing things in the community. Her passion is in plant-based education, educating the community about being healthy. And she is also leading the charge in the Women Are Worthy movement. So, Miss Jacqueline, can you please tell us what brought you to where you are right now, leading the charge for Women Are Worthy?
Well, what brought me, I was one of those women who said I didn't like women. They get on my nerves. I worked in the healthcare field. So I worked with a lot of specialists and they were majority doctors. So I decided I can't be part of the problem. I needed to be part of the solution. So with that, I gave birth to Women Are Worthy. And it's all about where we embrace, empower, and build character. There's so many Beyonce. There's one Beyonce, and if I hear another person tell me Beyonce's doing this, we have so many Beyonce's in the community. My platform is to shine a light in people in the community who are doing Beyonce-like things, you know? So that's how I gave birth to that.
Awesome.
So when you're talking about is Women Are Worthy, is that a nonprofit organization?
No, Women Are Worthy is not a nonprofit. Women Are Worthy, basically, it's a company where we do speaking engagements. Okay. We basically get people in the community who are doing phenomenal things and put them on our platform. Okay. I have a streaming show, a successful streaming show, and we're going to be doing a plant-based cooking show. Okay. So we get people in the community. It doesn't matter where you live. Streaming Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, okay, and things like that. So what we do, and our streams are usually 4,000 to 6,000 per show.
Okay.
So what we're doing is we want people to feel valued. And now men are asking me, I need to start a Men Are Worthy. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Y'all can come on in and join us.
Yeah. Totally. I like that. So what first started you to try to say, okay, I'm going to do this, but then I'm going to put it on some form of a platform. And then, you know, what started to get traction for you?
Well, what happened was when I'm one of those people that I figure if you work for doctors and you're successful, and I had 300 doctors underneath me, not literally, but 300 doctors that I worked with. Yeah, I'm a mess. Yeah. And if you're successful that way, you can do anything. So they asked me to come into the practice and start speaking life into the women because they were bringing drama into the workforce. Mm-hmm. And I was working 3 weeks out of the month living on the road. So I said, you know what? If I'm doing this and making them rich, I can do this myself because I'm one of those that believe I'm into law of attraction and everything. Whatever I say is going to happen, will happen. Mm-hmm. So I said, let me start doing this. Now, don't get me wrong. I know what I was doing. You know, I walked into a restaurant. These guys were arguing back and forth and I'm arguing with them because New York and I'm from New York and all that kind of stuff. So this guy says, you need to be on radio. I said, I know I need to be on radio. And he's like, well, you need to call my manager. I said, I'm not calling your manager. I said, look at me. Look who I am. I don't know what happened to me that day.
Yeah.
So then I worked on a Fox affiliate radio station. Mm-hmm. So from then on, I said, you know what, let me do it on my own. And I went on Blog Talk and things like that. And then I said, okay, let me do something organically as well, which is my own. And God has been so good that every celebrity, everyone, because I call people in the community celebrities in the community. because you are celebrities as well.
Sure, local celebrities.
Yeah, so when I did that, it just blew up. People wanting to mentor me, from mayors to, you know, local politicians, and it's just been phenomenal.
Okay, I like that. I like that. So now where you are with your platform, how do you tie that into what you're doing in the plant-based area? I mean, and how does that all kind of work together? Is it something separate? Is it a separate entity?
Well, no, because we're not one-dimensional people. Mm-hmm. And I figure if I'm busy talking about the inside, inspire, I don't like the word empower. Inspire is bringing things that's inside of you outside. So if I'm busy, if we're working on the inside, I mean the outside, bringing it out, why aren't we working on the inside? Mm-hmm. So I realize it's the prevalence that's going on in the Black community, African-American community. You know, we got the high blood pressure, diabetes, and high cholesterol. And I'm finding that out because I have young kids that I mentor and they intern with me. I have 14-year-olds who are on 2 cholesterol medications.
Wow.
Diabetes, pre-diabetic, and things like that. So I said, oh, no, we're not going to do this. So I'm Jamaican and Cuban, and I was raised plant-based, mm-hmm. vegan as they call it, but plant-based for me. And so I said, let me bring this into the market. So my kids, when I'm taking them out to dinner, it's a plant-based affair. So I'm always constantly not just walking the walk, talking the talk. I coach people on how to eat well and things like that. So I'm a force to be reckoned with, because there's no way you should be walking around with some kind of health issues if you can prevent it, you know? So that's what I'm all about.
No, totally.
So Jacqueline, tell us about your story and how you grew up plant-based and vegan, and then you had a near-death experience.
Oh,
yes, please we tell us about time. That.
No,
yes.
No. Yeah, well, what happened was I was plant-based. I decided I was too grown, okay? So I said, let me be grown. What is this fried chicken everybody talking about? What is this red velvet cake? Now, mind you, in New York, you're walking around and all that kind of stuff, so you don't have time to gain weight or anything. So my grown butt decided to eat some red velvet cake and some fried chicken. Yeah. So I was doing that for a while, and I go to acupuncturists and stuff like that. So what happened was my stomach started to get bigger and bigger and bigger, and I'm like, I'm not pregnant. What's going on down there? I can't even see my legs. What's going on? Turns out I was getting fibroids.
Mm.
So then I started bleeding a lot, becoming anemic, passing out at church, passing out in the street. I was getting so weak. So they finally admitted me in the hospital. I passed out. The ambulance took me to the hospital. They admitted me. And what happened was they told me that they were going to have to do a blood transfusion. I'm like, oh, no, we're not doing that. Mm. And so I went to one of the reputable hospitals here. And while I was in the hospital, they gave me so much medication. I was having heart issues all of a sudden. It was ridiculous. They was giving me all this medication that my body wasn't used to, and my body was getting out of whack. So eventually they told my husband, you need to call her family because she's not going to make it.
Mm.
This is what I hear them telling my husband. So out of delirium, being delirious, I told my husband, we're going to sign out AMA. We're signing out. So when I signed out, I told my husband, we're going to go to the store. We're going to get some stuff so I can juice. So I did a 30, my cholesterol was off the charts.
Mm.
I did a 30-day juice, went back to my doctor. My doctor could not believe my cholesterol went back down.
Mm.
Okay. And I found out through my acupuncturist, it's because of the stuff what they do is, she was telling me, in the chicken with Black people, we like eating wings, or mm-hmm. in the past, they were putting the antibiotics in the wings and it was messing my system up.
Mm.
So I started getting 300 rounds every other day, 200 inch acupuncture in my abdomen. Okay, mm-hmm. every other day. So that shrunk it, and I'm not going to say it cured. So I started eating better, you know, swore off the chicken, swore off all. I was even eating mac and cheese. I'm like, this is what gum and cheese tastes like. I went off, my whole body went out of whack. So
yeah,
because of that, I went back to my lifestyle and haven't looked back since.
Wow. How long ago was that?
A year and a half ago.
Wow.
I have pictures with me in the hospital with my blood pressure. They couldn't get my blood. They had to go through my neck.
Mm.
They had to go through my neck to get my blood, okay?
Mm.
Everything was shut down, and only a doctor, as you know, can do that. And I have pictures with me in the hospital with the needles in my neck.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's an amazing story. So have you experienced anyone else experiencing things like that? I mean, that just seems like Like, wow, is that something that you see consistently?
Consistently, I have a young lady because I, you know, train, I don't want to say train, I help people when they ask me. So I did my ebook is on womenareworthy.net shop. I have an ebook out there. Mm-hmm. And I met a young lady. I was helping this gentleman in Cobb County because he was walking from side to side. And I knew, because majority of us is inflicted with it's called inflammation. Mm-hmm. That's where everything starts from your gut, and it's inflammation. So I helped this gentleman. He posted it all over social media. I guess it went viral. This lady called me who had MS. I'm not here to say I'm curing anything. I'm just here to, medicine, you know, can help you. She has MS, was in a wheelchair, has atrophy and everything. So I gave her some menus and drinks and things she should take, soursop and all that kind of stuff, lemon juice and things like that. She called me back and told me, Miss Jackie, I can now walk. And I'm like, huh? Not that I was amazed by it, but I'm just like, to me, it was like no big thing, you know? And again, we're not here saying we're curing anything, you know?
But where did all medicine start from? That, you know, the Hippocratic that says, let what? Food be thy medicine, right?
That's right.
And that's something to where our bodies are, these structures we have are amazing. Our bodies are so amazing. They can help heal themselves if you give it enough of the right things.
Fuel.
Is a complete medicine.
It is. And that's where everything starts from. Because for me, even when I ran away and I was out in the street in New York and I got caught up in sex trafficking and we were going in the garbage, I was picking the meat out of the bun and just eating the bun.
Oh, wow.
But at the end of the day, and I try to tell people when they say, oh, my God, Jackie, your teeth are so white and this and that. And I'm like, I'm telling you, I've not gone to had my teeth whitened. I had my doctor go on social media to tell people I've been her doctor for X amount of years, her dentist, I've never whitened her teeth. So it's always has been, is this an a tribute to me being plant-based.
Yeah. And it's something, I mean, you know, so you just threw something way out there and just kind of walked away from it, said the sex trafficking stuff, and just was like, hey, you know, I'm just gonna throw that out there and just say when I was eating out the trash can, and then I'm just gonna go the other way. Like, you can't just do that
to us.
So how did that happen? And, you know, how did you get back? I mean, that's, you know.
I wouldn't say I'm a religious person. I'm a spiritual person. And I never knew God had me all the way. And you know that poem, Footprints? I've definitely experienced that. Well, I ran away because I thought I was grown. Mm-hmm. And ran away and got involved in, was on the street, was homeless. Got involved in sex trafficking. Back in the day, it wasn't called sex trafficking, but I had some prostitutes who really looked out for me, really looked out for me. We had some horrible situations where locked in the bathroom, the guy wanted an orgy and she promised him, but she said, go in the bathroom and just watch out. If he kills me, just run out when it's happening. You know, I mean, I've had some terrifying experiences, but when I say my God has been watching me.
Wow.
And you know, when you look at me and I talk about it, people are like, wait a minute, but you don't look like, I'm not my scars. Yeah. And I'm, you know, I've done therapy. I've married 30 years. Hallelujah. Talk about, you know, hashtag great couple.
Yeah.
You know, couple goals. And I have to thank God because I'm not my scars, but I'm here to help other people to know that your past is not your future. It doesn't have to dictate your future.
Yeah, no. I mean, and this is all about our stories. You know, a lot of us, you know, the main thing that people look for nowadays is authenticity.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the society, for a lot of times, we want to put up these facades, these masks. But what people are looking for is authenticity. People want to see real people. Mm-hmm. People want to see people. Hey, let me see. You know, you're not perfect. Mm-hmm. None of us are perfect. You know, as far as I know, there was only one perfect person walked the earth. And for me, that's definitely not me. I don't, mm-hmm. So for me, I make mistakes. We all make mistakes. We have things, but these things make us who we are.
It doesn't define you.
No. These things have brought us to the point, without some of those mistakes, I don't think we would be the people who we are.
Exactly. Because I think my mistake has helped me, because back in the day, you know, I went through something a couple of years ago. I think I was 20 or whatever. But I realized, because yeah. I just skip through things, don't I? Skip through them. And where, you know, I was in a coma. Mm. 3 months, I had to learn how to walk, how to talk, how to do every that all over again. I'm a walking miracle and I know it. Wow. So my job is, some people don't know their purpose. I know what my purpose is. And the jobs that I've had, six figures, money, 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 I wasn't fulfilled. Mm-hmm. The money didn't fulfill me. And I realized I got to walk in my purpose. Sure. Because God's going to take care of everything. And he has. So for me, my job is to just help people and be a servant. I hated the word servant at first. I'm like, what you talking about, God? I ain't nobody's servant. I ain't doing all of that. And he's like, no, he humbled me. Mm-hmm. You're here to teach. You're here to help. And you're here to fulfill your purpose.
Totally. Totally. So You're doing all of these things, and then you still even have time for cooking classes? I mean, so where does that come from?
That's a streaming. I'm a great cook, and the thing is, I would post my food on social media. Then I would get some, you know, crazy folks like, what a recipe? And I didn't realize the whole thing is when you're posting a food thing, you got to put the recipes with it.
That's right.
So I'm with a lot of plant-based groups. So, and I mentioned we did an event, I partnered with someone. We did a raw vegan event January 1st. 310 people showed up. Wow. Okay?
Where was that at?
So it was Atlanta Food, the Living Food Institute.
Okay.
So we did that there. So my thing was, let me do what I love, because if I don't love it, I'm not doing it, because I procrastinate if I don't love it.
That's right.
So I said, let me merge the two and show seniors and people how to eat well, because we all know what to do. The thing is, they don't know the how. So mm-hmm. Jackie is the how.
That's right. Okay. So, I like that.
Jackie, what's the difference between vegan and plant-based?
That's such a great question. Give me a high five on that. Okay. The difference is plant-based is a movement. Vegan is a movement. Plant-based is a lifestyle. Now, what I mean by that is when you're vegan and if you're wearing leather, why are you wearing leather? Why are you doing this? The animals, for me, if you eating chicken or whatever you want to do, I would prefer you not to. I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to, because they, you know, as you can see with the vegans, they will throw paint on you. Now, look, y'all don't be hitting me up on my email or my page or meet me outside, okay? But that's what it is. I'm not here to judge you. I'm here to love you. So basically, vegans are all about the movement, you know, the animals and this. Plant-based, we're about the animals, but we're not going to judge you because you eat meat. You know, we're not going to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so how can people get in touch with you? What is a way, if they want to reach out or watch some of your streaming stuff or just get in touch with you, how do they do that?
Okay, thank you for saying that. They can reach out to me on my Women Are Worthy, Women plural, WOMENARE Worthy @gmail.com. You can visit my website because I have our Women Are Worthy mugs. I have our ebook. You can go to our website, which is women, womenareworthy.net. If you want to reach out to me, you can call our line that we have, which is 770-480-2269. Just reach out to me. I can change your world, rock your world. You know, if you wasn't touching your knees, you're going to be doing a split by the time we're done. We're going to be having fun. Because I'm all about having fun.
Most definitely. So I have two, just one main question for you. If somebody, can you give them somebody some tips if they are right now just saying, hey, you know what? I want to get healthy. It's the new year. You know, everybody's making New Year's resolutions. Right. I want to get healthy, but where do I start? You know, it seems like, you know, such a daunting task. What would be some key things that they would need to do to get started?
Great question. And the thing is, other than contacting me and watching our cooking show, you know, we'll let you know when the cooking show is going to be out there. Well, basically, the first thing people need to do is, and it's all people, cut out dairy, cut out the cheese, cut out the milk. It's not meant for human consumption, and that brings a lot of inflammation, post-nasal drip, and all that other stuff. Cut out the cheese. You can now, we have cheese, you can basically make, you can use, I'm not going to say soy, I'm going to say cashew milk. I'm going to say hemp milk. Try those, because that's great to try. In the morning, what I suggest that people start drinking is apple cider vinegar.
That's great.
And I would say brag. Yep. Don't drink any other apple cider vinegar. If you have a headache, if you ever saw My Big Fat Greek Wedding and the father was using Windex on everything, that's what apple cider vinegar is. But what I must warn everyone, do not drink apple cider vinegar on an empty stomach or straight. Don't do that shot stuff because it'll burn your esophagus. You can't do that. So you can do a capful with an 8-ounce glass of water and don't drink it from the glass. Use a straw because it'll strip your enamel from your teeth. Oh, so wow. Those are the tips that, you know, to get away from the dairy, start drinking apple cider vinegar. In the morning, please start drinking your turmeric milk. That's turmeric. Any kind of whether you're gonna have peanut milk, whether you're gonna have almond milk, you have some almond milk. You put some turmeric and you put some black pepper. Black pepper stimulates and it activates the turmeric. Turmeric is great for an inflammation that you have. And if you feel like your fingers are getting tight, I promise you, when you drink that, you're gonna like, oh wow, no sugar, no anything. That really helps.
Really helps. Okay, mm-hmm. And I got a question on the apple cider vinegar now.
Just one thing.
Yeah, you'll go for it.
Don't drink the Windex, though.
Don't drink the Windex. Yeah. Please.
Everybody want to be a comedian.
Please don't drink the Windex. And so with the apple cider vinegar, what do we end up mixing it with? You said don't drink it straight.
You can mix it with water, with an 8-ounce glass of water.
Okay, per what?
You could use a capful.
A capful per 8 ounce?
Yes, and then you can start doing with a teaspoon and then a tablespoon in the 8 ounce. Okay. Because if you notice, sometimes when you have a headache or the morning after, it's because you combined certain foods and things like that. Mm-hmm. And also for people who are juicing, can y'all please stop juicing strawberry, apples, banana, grapes? That's not juicing. Put some greens in there. Mm-hmm. And here's another key tip. When you're juicing greens, if you're going to do spinach 1 week, the next week use another greens because your pH balance, it throws it off. Mm-hmm. So you have to make sure. And then drink lots of water. Lots of water.
Any specific water?
Well, I'm not. Out of the plastic, no. But I'm not. Okay, here's the thing, guys, that they're not going to like it. I'm not into that whole organic stuff that people talk about.
Yeah.
I'm against that. Well, not against that. I don't prescribe that.
Promote it.
Right, and I don't promote it. And I think any water, except it's not tap water, because you can boil your tap water and drink it.
Yeah.
You can get, you know, because I have a water cooler, and that's what we use in my household.
Wow, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. See, told y'all was going to learn some stuff, get some good info, insight.
And brag, you can also use it on your face. You can wash your dogs with it. You can clean your house with it. Rinse your mouth out with it. You can do so much with brag.
No, I have a book. It's actually about this thing. It's nothing about, it's the people from Bragg's, the husband and the wife that develop it. And I'm telling you, that stuff is just so many things that it can be used for.
A mask, everything.
Yeah, it's a lot of stuff. So it's amazing. So no, listen, get it, make it happen, go out there and get healthy. So so we appreciate you, Jacqueline, coming on and sharing that great info with us.
Thank you. I'm just here to serve.
That's right. And so, that brings us to our next guest, the wonderful doc that's in the house, Doc Bailey. Yes. Everybody. Yeah. So, Doc, tell me about yourself. You are a plastic surgeon.
Yes, I'm a plastic surgeon, and that entails many things in my practice because I'm very broadly trained. So I do hand surgery, I do plastic surgery, both cosmetic and reconstructive from head to toe.
Wow, that's amazing. So tell me about did you always want to be a surgeon or a doctor? I mean, how did that happen?
So it actually, at an early age, I did want to become a doctor. My dad is a physician, and he is an obstetrician and gynecologist and does high-risk pregnancies.
Wow.
But it's actually a funny story. A friend and I were outside riding our bikes because, BMX bikes, that was big when I was growing up.
Yeah.
And he actually fell off of his bike and had a cut on his stomach and had to go to the emergency room to get stitches. And while I was watching them doing stitches, I was like, man, this is really cool. And from an early age, that's kind of where I saw myself going. Now, the veering into plastic surgery came much later. I saw a lecture given by Dr. Nahai, which is actually a plastic surgeon here in Atlanta, and he was talking about using the small bowel as a transplant for esophageal reconstruction for patients who had had cancer and had their esophagus removed.
Mm.
And I had no idea that plastic surgeons did that.
Wow.
And from that point on, I kind of became a little bit more interested, and I realized that plastic surgeons do a lot of things, and they work from head to toe. It's a specialty that was basically kind of born out of the war, and people had devastating injuries. And plastic surgeons are problem solvers. They fix problems. So that's where the general specialty came from. And, you know, things that people know now, more the cosmetic aspect, it's because we know the anatomy so well mm-hmm. that we can recreate normal. And aesthetic problems are just variations of normal that we try to get back to original states.
Wow, I like the way you said that, recreate normal, mm-hmm. right? That's great. So, you know, you said a lot of stuff there. You know, when you were talking about being there and watching your friend get his stuff. So now I have a story. My little brother had gotten a car accident when we were young. And I saw them there. They were stitching his head up. And I was holding them, and they was like, and I was just sitting there cringing, like, and then the doctor was like, he said, look, now, if you keep doing that, you're going to have to leave. And I said, I'm okay. After about 2 more seconds, I was like, he was like, I said, no, I got to go. So you got to be gifted to make that happen. When we say plastic surgery, where does the plastic come from? Or is that just, you know, how does that fit into the surgery? I mean.
So it's just really talking more so about change mm-hmm. and changing something from one form to the next.
Okay.
And I think when people think about plastic surgery, I think sometimes they may have seen some bad plastic surgery, so they view plastic as fake.
Okay.
But plastic, what we mean from that is that the ability to change from one to the next.
Okay. So it's not actually using plastic.
No, I mean, we use some things that you would look at and think they were plastic, but it's usually silicone.
Okay, yeah, I'm curious. Like, listen, now, you know, I ask questions. See, I ask the things that people think, but they don't say, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, I mean, you know, from a layman's standpoint, you know, we're just trying to have an understanding of, you know, what that looks like and how that happens. So now one of my other questions is, you know, at what point does someone say, okay, this is something that needs to go to a plastic surgeon? Like, what is that line of differentiation? Or maybe is it different for different people? Or
so I think it is different for different people. So I think you have to first look at what your goal is and what your initial problem is. So if it's reconstruction after a cancer surgery, mm-hmm. it's more likely that you'll need to see a plastic surgeon, especially if it involves more than just closing the skin.
Sure.
If you have issues that may be related to burns, but burns in specialized areas, so your hands, face, genitalia, neck, feet, a lot of times you'll have to see somebody who is a specialist, like a plastic surgeon, in order to get those issues fixed. Now, additionally, things that are related to the head and neck, I think most people may be aware of things like cleft lip and cleft palate.
Yeah.
Those type of pediatric issues are best dealt with by plastic surgeons, just because the breadth of the training goes from the bone to the muscle to the fat, soft tissue, skin, nerves. So we are very well-versed in every area of the body, really.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I know you know this very well, because you're not just a plastic surgeon, but you've won awards mm-hmm. in plastic surgery, one of the top 10. Talk about that.
Yeah, so I won a top 10 plastic surgeon award for the state of Georgia in patient satisfaction and patient experience. So I treat all of my patients like family. And I tell my patients that when they come to me, they're becoming part of my family.
Yeah.
And I also explain to them that I love my family.
Yeah, totally. No, that's a difference. Because some people got a family, but that don't mean they love them.
So I tell patients the real deal, talk to them about what solutions fit into their lifestyle. And honestly, if they are not a good candidate for surgery or they should not have surgery, I let them know.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd be surprised. There are some patients. I had a lady who was, I think, 60. She was 60 years old, and she came in because she wanted a breast augmentation.
Mm.
And the size that she wanted to go to was like, she wanted to be a double D from a B cup.
Wow.
And I told her I didn't think that her skin would support that large of a volume change.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I have cash. And I said to you, you will definitely have a problem. If you go out there and you go 10, 15 minutes down the road, you'll find somebody who will do this to you and do this for you. But just remember, when you start having issues, I'm right here. I told you, but I will help you.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was very shocked.
Yeah.
She was very shocked.
Totally.
But I'm telling you, I tell the truth and I treat patients like my family.
Yeah, no, that's great, man, because it's a lot of people out here who are, and you know, I'm not speaking against any of those people, but what I am saying, they have a different philosophy when it comes to things. A lot of them look at, you know, dollars first, and then they look at the individual next, and they look at, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it kind of puts things in a very interesting situation. And so when you tell us about the training, you know, when you went to undergraduate, where'd you go to undergraduate at?
So I went right here in the city of Atlanta. I went to Morehouse College.
Morehouse, yeah.
The College of the King.
That's right. You know what? I was watching with my kids yesterday. I didn't even... It's so much history behind him and behind his father and, you know, understanding, you know, how they change their names. It's just so much history, man. Like,
it's amazing. And I think, you know, I came from Huntsville, Alabama, and moved down here to Atlanta for college. And I can truly say it was one of the best experiences that I've had in my life.
Wow.
I think, one, going from a classroom where you may be one or two black individuals in a class.
Mm-hmm.
To being there and it's majority African-American. There are actually, contrary to popular belief, there are some Caucasians and Latinos and other races that are at Morehouse College, but it's predominantly black. It's historically black college and university. So it was great to see excellence from people that look like you.
Yeah.
Great to have professors that demanded excellence from people that look like you.
Yeah.
Because... when you have somebody demanding excellence from you, that means that they believe that you can achieve it.
Sure.
So that's something that I took away and I wear proudly.
Let me say something. I've met so many just amazing Morehouse graduates. I mean, amazing people. And they all have that same kind of drive, excellent type of mentality. You know, Morehouse recruited me to play football when I was in high school, but I wanted to play Division I football. That was the only reason why I didn't go.
Yeah.
But I mean, the level of excellence there and the graduates, I'm telling you, I see a consistent thread or theme that I see when I talk to Morehouse graduates, and it's something. It's amazing. Now, when after that, where did you went on to?
I went to Meharry Medical College,
okay,
which is in Nashville, Tennessee. It's a great story. My sister and I were in college together. She was at Spelman. I was at Morehouse.
Okay.
And we went to med school together. So that's amazing. Wow. That was a blessing.
That is.
Meharry Medical College is where my father graduated from medical school.
Wow.
So my...
It's a family thing, right?
Yeah. My cousin also graduated from there with a PhD.
Wow.
But my dean in the medical school was actually a classmate of my dad. And she actually held me when I was a baby.
Oh, okay. Wow.
It's a fantastic relationship because you have somebody who's backing you, who knew you from the beginning.
Before you really know yourself. She knew.
So I went to Meharry Medical College and did well there and went into general surgery at UT Southwestern in Dallas.
Okay.
So that was my foray away from home.
Yeah.
And it was a great experience. It was Parkland Hospital, a place that's been famous for, you know, burn treatment and also for where JFK was assassinated in Dallas. He came there, and some of the doctors that actually operated on him were there in kind of an emeritus status and would teach us different things in lectures. So it's an amazing history. From there, I stayed on and did plastic surgery. And UT Southwestern for plastic surgery is actually rated the number one program in the country.
Wow.
So in terms of training, they say everything's bigger and better in Texas.
Yeah.
It truly is.
Okay.
You know, in my three-year fellowship, the Board of Plastic Surgery has a certain requirement of cases that need to be done for you to complete. So I completed my requirements for graduation in year one of a three-year program.
Wow.
So in terms of numbers, you know, in comparison to people that are out there in the country, I think our numbers may have been between 1,200 and 1,800 cases required for graduation. I did 4,000. Wow. So it was a great experience. It was a God-given opportunity to be there with some of the best and most well-known plastic surgeons in the country and in the world. So from there, I really feel capable to do a lot of things. And that's why, you know, when I talk to referring physicians, I tell them, don't worry, we can fix it.
Yeah.
You know, we have creative solutions to come up with answers to questions and answers to problems. And it actually is a pleasure for me to be there for patients often on the worst day of their lives.
Wow.
I really count that as a blessing, because not sometimes when people see you after you've gone through something, all they can see is, man, that's messed up.
Mm-hmm.
Or that's crazy. That's terrible. But I can be that voice that says, hey, it may look this way, but just trust me, it's going to be okay.
Yeah, man, that's peace of mind, man. I'm going to tell you, I mean, anytime you put people in a peace of mind, man, that's priceless.
Yeah, I believe that, you know, your mind is so powerful, mm-hmm. that if you think about things negatively or you have a negative spirit about you, it can really impact your healing. So I tell patients when they come to see me, you worry about feeling better, making your environment better, and we'll worry about getting you better.
Yeah.
I have an amazing support staff at the office. We work things out for patients so they don't have to do the legwork. They don't have to do the phone calls. We set things up. You just have to make the choice. Surgery, yes. Surgery, no. And we move from there.
Okay. And so you're talking about those things. So I'm going to ask you some more specific questions along those lines. Like, what's the difference between cosmetic surgery and plastic surgery?
So I think there recently has been a movement of something called a cosmetic surgeon. And there's a difference between a cosmetic surgeon and a plastic surgeon. And most of the lay community does not have an idea that there is a difference.
I didn't know.
So plastic surgeons and board certified plastic surgeons are certified by the American Board of Plastic Surgery.
Mm-hmm.
They have gone through a rigorous training program, either an integrated program that is 6 years of plastic surgery, or an independent program like I went to, where they did general surgery or orthopedic surgery or neurosurgery or ENT before doing a 3-year fellowship in plastic surgery. A cosmetic surgeon is a doctor that is trained in another field of medicine. It could be family practice, it could be emergency medicine, internal medicine, that does a 1-year training program, and then they become a cosmetic surgeon.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of their exposure to patients that are inpatient, outpatient, their exposure to complex reconstruction and complex aesthetic cases, they don't have that. However, their build and placed in the same level. So a lot of times, what I have seen from cosmetic surgeons, even in this community, is that patient selection may be poor, patient outcomes may be poor. And I think it's important for me as a plastic surgeon and my other plastic surgery peers that we let the public know the difference, because I think it brings a bad connotation to plastic surgery and puts a stain on our name. I'll give you just a couple examples. There was a patient that I was asked to take care of in the hospital who is a mother of three. She's 40 years old, 44, and she had a tummy tuck and a breast lift by a cosmetic surgeon in the community. This patient had a stroke during their surgery, and they were told to go home and just to kind of sleep it off. By the time this patient got to the hospital, was out of the window where they could be treated with medications for strokes.
Mm.
She is basically, she's nonverbal. She can open her eyes. She can move. She cannot walk. Her next of kin is 19 years old.
Wow.
And that's what I'm saying. I don't say that things cannot happen, you know, but with plastic surgeons, we do our due diligence as surgeons, and we screen patients to make sure that their outcomes will be good. There are patients that get procedures that are not necessarily standard of care. And when they get them, they have outcomes that are difficult to reverse and difficult to fix. These people that I'm talking about next are not cosmetic surgeons, but there are people who do cosmetic things that have no license. So silicone injections into buttocks and other type of injections. These things are absolutely devastating because the silicone, when it's not in that form or in a shell, can migrate throughout the body. It can cause areas to become lumpy. You can get reactions to it. And somebody who is beautiful, you can turn them to somebody who does not, their outward beauty does not represent their inward beauty. Mm-hmm. We'll just say that.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. So what are some things that people need to think about before they actually say, you know, I'm going to do plastic surgery? What are some things that they need to kind of know to help them make a decision?
Yeah. So I think, you know, you need to have a conversation with the person that you're being treated by. One, you need to ask them about their training. You need to make sure that they're a board certified plastic surgeon. You need to ask them about recovery time and what it means to your lifestyle. Meaning that if you want to have surgery this week and you're going out of town next week, is the surgical solution going to allow you to have that turnaround time, et cetera? Mm-hmm. I think also you need to talk to them honestly about your medical problems and also things that you may use that are outside of the aspect of normal health, i.e. marijuana or drugs, et cetera, because sometimes the use of those products can impact your result and impact your life severely. So it's an open, honest discussion about your medical health. And also, sometimes, depending on the type of procedure, it can be a little bit pricey. So you may want to talk to them about ways that you can pay for surgery and take that stress out of the process. Because I really like my patients, when they go under the knife, I want them to be at ease about their decision. I want them to know how all of this stuff is being paid for so they're not worrying about it at the end of the day. So I talk to all of my patients about those things. And I think every surgeon that is taking someone's life into their hands to operate on them, because that's what we're doing.
That's totally what you're doing.
You need to have this conversation. And I also tell patients that you should feel comfortable with your surgeon. And the reason I say that is not because of the great outcomes. It's when you have a complication. That's when you really need somebody who you know you can depend on, who has a good attitude towards you, and you think, at least in terms of your interactions, has your best interest at heart.
That is amazing, man. Listen, how do people get in touch with you if they want to come and see you, get a consultation? I mean, how can they get in touch with you?
So the phone number at the office is 770-794-6643, 770-794-6643. You can also go to the website at CrawfordPlasticSurgery.com, and then you can also email me at drbailey, B-A-I-L-E-Y, at CrawfordPlasticSurgery.com. Or I have a Gmail account. It's StephenBaileyMD@gmail.com.
That's amazing, man. Well, listen, you know, keep doing the great work that you're doing. I'm glad we got somebody in this community that's doing what you're doing, that, you know, that we can feel good about, you know, knowing that, because we hear the other stories, but I'm just glad to know that there are some good quality people that are here. So that's amazing. Keep doing what you're doing. We appreciate it.
Thank you. I can consider it an honor to serve this community.
Yeah, totally, totally. Hey, listen, y'all. Normally, see, you always know how to get the right people in here. You know what I mean? So that's a good thing. We got some amazing people in here today. And like I said, I'm just excited for next time.
Yeah.
Right? So y'all keep doing what y'all doing. We appreciate y'all. And until the next time, this is A Healthy Atlanta.